And because he was an artist, after his dream, middle of the night, he wake up, he keep on drawing all these things. That's how the drawing comes about. And you look at the thing he draw, it's like not the usual one. It's quite similar, but in his own way. The way he sees it in the dream. He saw it in his dream, middle of the night. Then he started drawing. Then they go and produce it into a poster. And the person who draw is one of our Kayanamita sister's daughter-in-law's nephew. I don't know. Very long. And this was what I was told. So anyway, I look at it, it was quite unique. You look at the there is this poster. You look at this one, top right-hand corner, second one, where the Buddha actually talked to the five ascetic. You realize this five ascetic, they draw four. They are so different from your normal one. The normal one you see in the, what they call Theravada text or tradition, they are like very nicely dressed. But this one, very likely he saw and could be the real one last time they were like that. Not very sure. But it's nothing special. It just happened that they brought this poster for us to distribute to those who like to have a copy. If it can help bring about faith in you to cultivate, then it will serve the purpose. Okay. Pass it around.
This is the number you're
using for. Yeah, we haven't started yet. Still early. Okay, you have any question you can ask so that we can make use of the time. Okay, those who know Mandarin, this book is for free distribution, Four Tall Gu Tao. It's the Mandarin version of the Ancient Path by Venerable Priyadasi. This book is for free distribution. We just got it from Wave. Our Kayanamita fund donated together with some donors from the Kayanamitas. So if you know Mandarin and you like to have a copy, you can take. Then the Ancient Path also. Then there are some Dhamma books. They are on the shelf up there. Anybody who is new today? First time for the Thursday class? Oh, you are new. What's your name? Serena, you have been to SGBA before? Oh, good. Means I no need to explain the Dhamma. Good. Means you have some foundation. You meditate before? Oh, very good. What type of meditation are you familiar with? Oh, very good. Vipassana, how they train you? How do you do it? The Vipassana meditation. What is your understanding? It's okay, we just want to share this knowledge. We are different people, come from different tradition and background. So they learn from different teachers. So we would like to know and hear about different tradition and different teachers. Bhante, what? It's okay. 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 So how you start? Normally when you start your meditation, how you start? Okay, sit upright, calm down the mind. Then after that? You radiate metta. Then after that? Vipassana is just a word. So what is it that you understand of this word vipassana and how you develop that cultivation? Okay. You slow down the action or you slow down the thought. Good. Slow down the thought is good. You see, more important is you must understand what is vipassana. You understand that word or not? What is that word? The equivalent English word, you know. What is the equivalent English word? When you talk about vipassana meditation, means what? They always link it to mindfulness. But the English word is insight meditation. You heard of the word insight? INSIGHT. Means it's a meditation that develops the ability to insight into phenomena, to see the three universal characteristics of nature, which is impermanent, suffering state, and non-self. So vipassana is a Pali word. There are two syllables there. Vi is the three characteristics of nature. Passana is to insight into these three characteristics of nature. So you join these two words, vipassana. It becomes a type of meditation that can lead you to insight into phenomena, to realize the universal characteristics of anicca, dukkha, anatta. And then you call that vipassana, anasana. So if you understand this, then you will know how to cultivate and develop. Do they teach you any particular technique or method? Or up to you to use any method and any technique? Yeah. Correct. Any object of meditation or technique that he asks you to use to train your mind? Is it the rising and the falling or the breathing? Rising. So that is the technique they are following. It's okay. You can use any technique actually, as long as it's suitable for you. As long as it's conducive for you. Because ultimately it's an understanding of what are the purpose of this technique or so-called object of meditation. When you understand their purpose, then you will know how to train, you will know how to develop it. Okay, now 8:30 we can start. Okay. As usual, just compose your mind, develop the very strong faith or sadha in the Buddha and his teaching, through knowing how special the Buddha is, because he is the fully enlightened one, complete, perfect in wisdom and virtue. So because of that, your faith in him is very strong. Then the teaching is very unique because it can bring about great transformation in you, leading to the enlightenment. Then it can actually allow you to become enlightened. And once you have this wisdom developed, born of this type of meditation, the teaching will have this ability to actually bring about enlightenment. And because of that, your faith become very strong. You are very, very calm and very composed. And this tenacity to cultivate, or spiritual zeal to cultivate, will be developed. So our initial puja is to develop the three first three spiritual faculties, yeah? From the sadha leading to the virya, which is a spiritual zeal. Yeah? Sadha is confident in the Buddha and his teaching. Then after that, you pay respect mindfully to the Buddha. Yeah? So sati, or mindfulness, can be developed. And to develop this mindfulness is very simple. Body and mind move as one without thought. And that is sati. Yeah. So when you compose your mind very calm, then you ready to pay respect. So with great loving kindness and compassion, and this great confidence and virya in you, you mindfully pay respect to Lord Buddha. It's a very meritorious action, very wholesome, and it will bring about a very calm and composed mind. Yeah. Then it will help to train your mind to have mindfulness. Then after that, we will start the puja. Okay, let's start. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhasa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhasa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhasa. Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, Dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, Sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, Dutiyampi Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, Dutiyampi Dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, Dutiyampi Sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, Tatiyampi Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, Tatiyampi Dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, Tatiyampi Sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Pānātipātā viramani sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi. Ādīnādānā viramani sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi. Kāmesu micchācārā viramani sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi. Musāvādā viramani sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi. Sūrāmirāyā macchāpapādatthānā viramani sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi. Sādhu, sādhu, sādhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha. Okay, very good evening to all, huh? Brothers and sisters, Siddha Dhamma. Some of you, if you don't have space, you can move forward a bit, huh? So that there's more space behind. Okay. Okay, tonight, as we have announced the previous Thursday, this will be our last class before Chinese New Year, eh? We will break for 3 consecutive Thursday. Yeah? So the dates, oh, they rub it off already. Oh yeah, still there. 4 Thursday. Eh? So it's until 13. Eh? So 23rd January, we don't have the class. Then 30th is Chinese New Year. Eh? Oh yeah, they decide to begin after Chap Guo Mei. So that's why 6th of February also class cancel. 13th of February also class cancel. Eh? Then we come back on the 20th, I think, eh? If I'm not wrong. That one, they will send out the announcement. Eh? That one we may have to do it at Stephanie House. Eh? Okay, so basically this is the announcement. Eh? So I would like to take this opportunity, eh? Because just in case after this you break for New Year and we don't meet. Eh? I wish you a happy, prosperous and meaningful good Chinese New Year. Eh? Good has a lot of meaning. Huh? Good means you can have all the good wishes. Huh? Good life. Good health. Good Dhamma practices. Huh? Then good relationship with your loved ones. Then good understanding of the Dhamma. So when I wish you a very happy, prosperous and very good New Year is enough. Huh? It cover all the good things that you wish for. So normally human being got 2 type of wishes. One is your mundane life requirement, the mundane good. So the other one is the spiritual goodness, which is the noble life. So that one also very good. But it's more noble in the sense that it's the spiritual wealth that you will receive. So normally if I give you a blessing or what, I will wish you to have the causes and conditions to realize your good and noble wishes. Good is for worldly, noble is for your spiritual. So this is my blessing to you, very sincere. Then do develop some form of understanding and heedfulness during Chinese New Year so that you can learn a lot of the Dhamma from Chinese New Year. When you celebrate Chinese New Year, there's a lot of Dhamma to be learned. Well, this is a time where you gather together, correct not? Chinese has a tradition, they call it the reunion dinner. No matter how busy, they will try to gather together their family members and all their loved ones. If they can, they will try to gather once a year at certain places. Then when you come to this gathering, there is normally a lot of joy. Then you exchange a lot of news. Then you tend to like get very excited and you start to talk about good old things. Then you start to maybe share information. But during this moment, there can also be a lot of heedlessness because you are not careful. You start to develop the wrong speeches. You start to backbite, complain, comment, and all those things. So this is the part where you can apply your understanding to actually develop the heedfulness to understand. Then after you have developed the understanding and the training, you can be of a blessing to the rest. You can help them. So it's also an occasion to update each other. And when you come to know certain family member need help or what, you should try your very best if there is condition to help in whatever way so that the family unit so that all your family members can feel the closeness, the sincerity, and the good relationship, so that you can maintain good harmony among them, so that every New Year is a meaningful and beautiful one. Then it's also a time for respect to your parents if they are still around, to your brothers and sisters, to all of your other siblings and loved ones. So all these are great opportunity and occasion that will be only available during Chinese New Year. That's why it's very unique. Then it's also a very good tradition to exchange gifts. This is a sign of generosity, with joy, with gratitude and appreciation of what people has done for you. And then you make this offering and give. It brings about a lot of wholesomeness, a lot of joy. And because this practice actually is a good tradition, then those who receive, they will think of you, then they will try to offer you back, understand? So that is the parami of generosity. And you do it with understanding, and you do it with a lot of sincerity. It can bring about a lot of what they call blessings to all. So this is a simple message before we start. Because normally every year before the Chinese New Year, I will give a talk on this Chinese New Year message. I think I've done it at the Subang Jaya Buddhist Association for the last 2-3 years, I think. You can go and look for the recording. It's very nice. I cannot remember what I spoke, but there's a lot of things there. Very meaningful. And it brings about a lot of understanding, because everything that I spoke on actually come from the Dhamma. And this Dhamma can be so useful and so applicable to real life situation. Not until you have that understanding, you can never develop it into a daily life cultivation. Means your life is the embodiment of the Dhamma that you have already cultivated, studied, and developed. So Dhamma, if it's only theory, cannot apply, not much use, or not. Like meditation, you only know the theory and you don't do, doesn't really help. After you understand the theory, then you put into practice. And this is how you develop the real understanding and wisdom. Then from there, the next stage will be to move it out into real life and cultivate. And apply what you have cultivated. It's only when Dhamma can be a part of you, then only you have the real understanding and the cultivation. If Dhamma is still theory, you know but you cannot do, then you are still quite far away. But at least there is an improvement. Because just now on the car while we are traveling here, one of the Dhamma sisters who were with me asked a very good question. I share with you all today, very important. She asked, is right view under the Noble Eightfold Path equivalent to wisdom, same as wisdom? What is your understanding? What is your understanding? You agree or not? Is right view equivalent to wisdom? Most of you will tend to agree, because she also thought that. I say it's some form of wisdom, but it's not real wisdom yet, understand or not? That's why I have to explain. I say, luckily because she arrived the condition, then I explained to her what was in the car. So now I make use of this condition to explain to you, so that you know the big difference between actual right view and actual wisdom. What are the three right views that the Buddha talked about under his teaching? Samadhi Sutta, the Sutta on right view. What are the three right views? the physical law and the spiritual law that governs life and existence. So there are five of this law. First two is scientific, physical law, biological law. So they are scientific law. The Buddha call it Uttu Niyama and Bijja Niyama, means the scientific law that explain the property of all physical things, nature's physical law, physical order of things. All of your physics and chemistry is covered there. Then biological is all of the biological laws that governs all of living things, whether the plants, the human being, the animal, the fishes, or anything. These are all organic things, these are biological things. So they follow this law. That's why you have medicine, medical science. You have genetic engineering. Then you have biology and all those things. And these are part of this law. Then the Buddha is more interested in the other three laws, spiritual laws that governs all of our life and existence. And this spiritual law is what he called right view with regards to this nature's law that governs our life and existence. And the most powerful one is law of karma. Understand? You must have right view with regards to law of karma. Otherwise, you sure get yourself entangled with life. Because if you don't understand this law, then you become very, very deluded. Then you don't believe this law. You tend to do a lot of funny things that will violate this law. Then you get yourself entangled with this law. That's why suffering is the result. Because you don't understand what this law is. The Buddha said the most powerful thing about this law is all of your life, is it, when you come to this existential world, each and every one of us, we are born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. We are what we are because of our karma. So everything about your life, your birth, is related to this karma. If you have this right view, what must you do? You must take care of karma, is it? Correct? Now, this is right view with regards to this law. But it doesn't mean you have wisdom to be free from suffering. You only got the right understanding that if I follow this law, I don't violate this law, I will be safe. So how do you take care of karma? You have to avoid all evil. And how do you avoid all evil? That's why the Buddha advises you to keep the precepts. Where the precepts are moral rules that prevents you from becoming evil, from killing, stealing, sexual misconduct, telling lies, deceiving people, partake in intoxicants and all those things. So this right view is only a view, understand, to guide you to walk the path of Dhamma, to guide you to move into the cultivation. But it doesn't give you wisdom yet, understand. You know this law is so important, so you have to avoid all evil, means you have to take care of karma. But how to do it? Like a lot of people say, I know what I cannot do. That's why that right view only gives you a very initial understanding, but a very important understanding to start the cultivation. Because you know you have to train your mind to be heedful, so that you can be mindful of your mental intention behind all your actions, speech and thought, in order to keep precepts. That's why heedfulness and mindfulness is very important. Without that, you cannot start. So to avoid all evil and good, you must have mindfulness leading to the heedfulness. And to keep the precept is the same. To develop the meditation is the same. So that's why when we come to our meditation class here, we are here to train our mind to develop this very important spiritual faculty that the Buddha called sati, or mindfulness. Then only we can use it to cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path. which is a meditation as taught by the Buddha, then only we have heedfulness. Then when we are heedful, like the Buddha said in the Dhammapada verse 21, we are destined for enlightenment. He said heedfulness is the path to the deathless. The heedful never die. Whereas heedlessness is the path to the dead. The heedless are as if dead. So this right view is so powerful, so important. It will give rise to understanding as how you should cultivate. But you have not developed the cultivation, Karena. That's why there is no real wisdom yet. Anasana. So right view and wisdom are still two separate things. Anasana. But you need right view to start. Yeah. So that's why when you have right view, you will not go wrong. You will not sidetrack. You don't have right view. When you have wrong view, you will get yourself entangled. And there are so many wrong views in this world. So the first right view, like we control, is this karma niyama, or law of karma. Then the next right view is citta niyama. Citta is mind, order of the mind, how your mind functions, how your mind arises and passes away. There is a law, the Buddha said. This law governs all of mind's behavior. And the Buddha taught us the dependent origination, the dwelling of paticca samuppada. And this is the most important law. When you know how your mind functions, how dependent on ignorant abhijja creates sankhara, paticca sankhara. Sankhara is mental activity, mental state, thinking and all those involution. That's why the deluded one, the ignorant one, they think a lot because this sankhara is very active. Then how sankhara create consciousness, mental consciousness? Just when you think, you make mental contact. Mind is one of the organs. You become conscious. And within that consciousness, there is a content of consciousness. The four aggregates of feeling, perception, activity of mind or mental states and consciousness, they are all there. Then the perception is the one that brings the external form into the mind. That's why within the vijnana, the consciousness, there is the five aggregate of form and mind. So dependent on consciousness, the five aggregate of form and mind come to be. That's why vijnana paccaya nama rupang. This is the five mental aggregate of form and mind. Then dependent on that, for it to arise, it needs the sense basis. Otherwise it cannot arise. So, dependent on sense basis, contact come to be. Contact will condition craving. Craving will condition grasping. Grasping will condition becoming. Then you take birth. Then arise the whole mess of suffering. And this is how suffering comes to be. This is how your mind works and function. So when you understand this right view, you will know how to take care of your life. You will know how to deal with your mind. You will not be so deluded like before. Then the last right view is Dhamma Niyama. Right view with regards to all of the teaching, the Dhamma. And the most powerful and important one, which is the essence of the Buddha's teaching, is the Four Noble Truths. That's why you must have right view with regards to this Four Noble Truths. And this Four Noble Truths, the Buddha, under the first sermon, Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta, he turned it three times. And this three turning of the Four Noble Truths, the third right view, is the most important. You must develop it. That's why it's written on the whiteboard. First turning, second turning, and third turning. The three turnings of the Four Noble Truths will bring about the three types of corresponding wisdom. First turning, they call it Suttamayapanya. Sutta is the discourse of the Buddha. So the first turning, the Buddha just proclaimed the Four Noble Truths. So the proclamation of truth is through your hearing at that time, through hearing of the discourse spoken by the Buddha. If wisdom can arise, and then that type of wisdom is the first turning wisdom. The Buddha called it Suttamayapanya. You look at the banner up there. The first type of wisdom. Let's say after hearing, you cannot awaken. Then the Buddha said there is a second turning. You should go and reflect, contemplate, and inquire into what he has proclaimed. Then try to assimilate the understanding and stabilize your understanding. Then if he can trigger wisdom, then he call it the second type of wisdom, Cintamaya Panya. Cintamaya Panya is wisdom born of contemplation, reflection, and inquiry into the noble truth that he has proclaimed. Then he say, if let's say after the first two, you still not develop the wisdom, then there is still a third turning, he say. This one need meditation. That's why the third turning wisdom is Bhavana Maya Panya. Panya is wisdom, Bhavana is meditative discipline. So if you go through the meditation, if you are able to awaken, then this is the third turning wisdom. So these three types of wisdom is very useful, very important. So the third right view actually can bring about enlightenment. So these are the three right views. But like I said, you only understand through having this right view, but you have not cultivated it. Understand not? So you have not developed the actual wisdom to free your mind, to liberate your mind. So right view, samadhi, is not really wisdom, understand not? But it's a kind of initial understanding that you need to start your cultivation. And this is a very important explanation. So I feel I should share with you as we start this new year, understand? The English calendar, Chinese New Year after this. So with that, I will continue with the next three here, Pariyatti, Patipatti, and Pativeda. These are Pali terms that you always see in the Buddhist logo. If I remember, Brickfield, I used to see these three words during the early days when I was in the uni at that time, 75, 76, 77. When I went there, I used to see this logo there with these three words, Pariyatti, Patipatti, and Pativeda. This is what the Buddha actually teach. He said the Dhamma can be cultivated in these three ways, he said. And these three ways are very important. So for you all, before you really go into meditation, you have to understand all these essential Dhamma. The first one is Pariyatti, the Buddha says. In English translation is the learning of the doctrine. Means the learning of his teaching, which is the Buddha Dhamma. How you do it? How do you do it nowadays? You lucky, you got book to read. You got CD to listen to, tape to listen to. So now you got a lot of advantage because of modern world advancement in technology. But during the Buddha's time, they had to travel all the way to listen to his talk. You miss the talk, gone. Wait for Ananda to repeat. Otherwise, no more. Because there was no recording. So the learning of the doctrine got two parts. First, you listen, like in the class lecture, you listen. Then what happened? After you listen, first time normally not sure, clear. So you go back, reflect and contemplate, then you start to slowly assimilate what you have understood through your reflection and contemplation. But as you reflect into this Dhamma, contemplate and inquire into it, you connect them to real life experience, like the first noble truth, the eight conditions that the Buddha talked about, that brings about suffering, the eight realities of life and existence. They are all related to our life, like the first four, birth, old age, sickness and death. So when we reflect and contemplate and inquire, then we understand, no wonder it's suffering. But in life, we see them. So this one brings about a deeper understanding of the Dhamma by relating it to real life example. Yeah. So that's why the learning of the doctrine can be very, very powerful as an initial wisdom. So after you have learned, through what they call hearing, then inquiry, contemplation, reflection, then you can also read up and do the same reflection, contemplation, and inquiry. Then after that, once you have developed this pariyatti, the next step the Buddha wants you to do is patipatti. Patipatti is the cultivation of this doctrine, means you put it into practice, and as well, into cultivation, into actual real life cultivation. Like you want to cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path. How you start? Right view. From right view, how you get the right understanding to follow the advice of the Buddha. And why he asked you to keep the five precepts. You start to understand as well. Because it's from the law of karma. And his advice to avoid all evil, do good, purify the mind, also come from this right view. So you start to understand. Then his essential teaching comes from the Four Noble Truths. That's why you will know how to develop the cultivation, the three turning like I explained just now. So you will do it in real life example. And the first thing you need to train is sati, mindfulness. The first factor of enlightenment is that you must have sati. Without sati, you cannot start. So sati, mindfulness, is paramount. Without sati, there is no second factor of enlightenment. Because second factor enlightenment is to investigate into the Dhamma, Dhamma Vichaya. So if you don't have sati, mindfulness, the Buddha said, you cannot investigate into Dhamma, you cannot see things as they are. You cannot understand the truth, the reality, you cannot insight into phenomena. A lot of things that he wants you to develop through the Dhamma or the cultivation of his Dhamma, you cannot do. So to develop patipatti, you must train your mind, which we are going to do here in this meditation. Today I will go more on the theory because this is recorded so that you can have a good understanding. Then after that, you will know how to cultivate. It becomes easier. So patipatti, the cultivation of the doctrine, the first thing you need to do is to train your mind to develop sati, then stabilize it. Understand? Once you stabilize it, it can become useful. If it's not stabilized, you cannot use it. Because you are not only to develop this training and to become mindful when you are in a formal meditation. Understand? When you are in a setting or in a meditation center or retreat center or a place where the condition is very conducive, where everybody keeps the precept. The place is very quiet and very conducive for your mind to be very peaceful and very calm. But then what happens when you come out of the retreat? When you come out of the meditation? When you enter real life? You cannot go. You become heedless again. You wasted all your cultivation. That's why no amount of retreat will help you if you cannot stabilize this daily mindfulness. This mind, to have a very stable mindfulness so that you can use when you are in the midst of life. So that you can use it to cultivate the daily mindfulness which is required under the teaching. They call it sati sampajana, mindfulness and clear comprehension of all action and all movement within the present moment in the midst of life itself. So that aspect is where the cultivation is. So if you do that cultivation, followed by the rest, the four foundation of mindfulness, then you will come to the third stage. You see, third stage is Pativeda. Pativeda is the fruit of that cultivation, like fruit. When everything is ripened, the fruit comes about. So the fruition of your cultivation is Pativeda. So when you come to the third stage, that is the most important part of your life. All of a sudden you realize the fruit of cultivation is there for you to reap, anasana, then you know what happened. You will have the wisdom and understanding to live life. Then your life will take a turn. Then you will start to appreciate the beauty and wonders of life. Then you will start to have the noble life, the good life, the life of the enlightened one, free of all suffering, which is so beautiful. And that fruit is what the Buddha talked about as enlightenment. So the third phase is wonderful existence, born out of wisdom, born out of the fruition of the cultivation. That's why if you diligently cultivate, this life is possible. And this will bring about great joy and happiness. The mind that has awakened is very different. Very, very different. There is so much understanding, so much joy, so much peace. No more suffering. Then everything is just the way it is. So meaningful, so beautiful. Then you can live life to the fullest. And you can experience all of the beauty and wonders of life, moment to moment, with so much joy and understanding. So this is a great reward that the Buddha can promise you if you cultivate sincerely and diligently. Okay, that summarizes what you need to know. So now we can start our meditation. I will off the light. And for those who already know how to meditate, you can start. For those who are new or quite new, who still needs... thanks, Lily. Thanks. Who needs some form of instruction, you try to listen attentively. Relax your body and mind. In order to develop this meditation, your physical body and mind must be in harmony, must be in a state of total relaxation. So you make sure you have a stable posture. If you have problem with the cross-legged posture because of your age or your sickness or illness, then you can just sit on a couch or lean against a wall. Maintain a stable posture, straighten your leg. Then you just close your eye, silence everything, and make sure your backbone is quite straight. Then just breathe in and breathe out normally. I will teach you a skillful means to decondition your heedless thinking so that you can be more calm and more peaceful. I call it the mind sweeping method. You close your eye, then you maintain awareness or attention at your forehead. You just feel, don't think, feel. If there is any tension, any tightness, or any stress within, you just mindfully and silently relax, relax, and relax. Feel it soothingly relax. Relax every part of your forehead. Then you move it down to your eye muscle. Do the same. Relax, relax, and relax. Then you feel your facial muscle. Do the same. Feel every part of your facial muscle relaxing. If you find it difficult, then I will teach you a skillful means. You visualize yourself facing a mirror, radiating a radiant smile. Radiating this radiant smile. When you can smile, there's a lot of joy, there's a lot of happiness. The joy and happiness will naturally make you relax. The tension will be gone. That's why your facial muscles will all relax. Then you can radiate loving kindness and well-being to yourself. So that this meditation will bring about not only inner peace, but also inner well-being, which are of great benefits to you. You can radiate as follows. May I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy, well and happy. feel the well-being and happiness within your entire body and mind, your entire being. So when you read it and recite, may I, this body and mind of mine, you must feel your body and mind be well and happy. Feel the body and mind having this wellness, this well-being and happiness and joy. Then you can repeat this. May I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy, well and happy. This well-being and happiness within your entire being is very useful. Then after that, you can continue to radiate that love and kindness of metta. May this body and mind of mine too be free from all suffering, all physical and mental suffering, free from all negativity. May it too be without enmity, without ill will and untrouble. May it keep itself happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy. Then you can relate to all beings within this vicinity and all kayanamitas. May all beings within this vicinity of Subhangjaya and all Dhamma friends of kayanamitas, fellow meditator, cultivators, and all beings throughout the entire existence, may they all too be well and happy, well and happy. May they all too be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering. May they all too be free from all harm and danger. May their mind process and their thoughts too be free from all negativity. May they all too be without enmity, without ill will and untrouble. And may they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within all their hearts. Then you come back to your facial muscle, relax every part, feel it soothingly relax. Then you silence your mind and you feel your neck, shoulder, relax every part. Your hand, back to shoulder, relax every part. Then you move your attention to your heart or your chest area. Silence your mind and just feel. You can detect your heartbeat or any vibration. Just silence your mind and stay there. It can be your object of meditation too. You can just silence and anchor it there. Then it will become very quiet and very still. The vibration will slow down by itself. But if you are new and you have not trained your mind, if your sati is still not stable, then you don't have to do that. Like you feel your forehead, you just feel your heart or chest area. Then just relax into every part of it. Feel it soothingly, relax, relax and relax. Then you move your attention down to your stomach. Feel the same. Relax every part within the stomach. Then you move it down to your abdomen. Feel. Relax. If you have been using the rising and falling as your object of meditation, as your technique or skillful means, then you can also use it to stay there for a while. But you use it differently. You don't go and look for the rising and falling. Don't go and note anything. Just silence your mind and feel around the abdominal area. Let the phenomena come to your silent mind. Don't go and look for it with the thought, concept and the labeling. Just silent. The sati will detect the phenomena. Just like you feel your breathing silent in front of your nostril, the breath and the mind will move as one. Exactly the same, you feel your abdomen. The rising and falling will come to you. Don't go and look for it. If you want to try, you can try. It's up to you. Otherwise, you move on. You feel your buttock, feel your leg, just relax. The mind sweeping method is very useful because it trains your mind to develop the ability to just feel and relax so that you become more and more peaceful, so that you can decondition your heedless thinking. Because when you feel and relax, you don't think. After a period of time, it will decondition your heedless thinking. Then you also train your mind to be at the location you want it to be. You want it to be at the forehead, you will be at the forehead. You want it to be at the chest, you will be at the chest. You want it to be peaceful, silent, still, you will just do that. So that training is very useful. Okay. After that, you can reverse the whole mind sweeping method. From your leg, relax. Buttock, feel, relax. Abdomen, feel, relax. Stomach, do the same, feel, relax. Chest, feel, relax. Shoulder, hand back to shoulder. Neck, feel and relax them all. Then facial muscle, feel and relax. Then eye muscle, feel and relax. Then forehead. After you have completed one full round, you would have become more calm, more peaceful, more quiet and more tranquil. So now you have some form of sati. Then I will teach you the next technique, which the Buddha called anapanasati, to stabilize your mindfulness, to anchor it and stabilize it to the breathing. Anapana is in and out breath. Sati is mindfulness. So anapanasati is just mindfulness of this in and out breath. It is not a concentration. So don't focus or concentrate. You just silence your mind, relax everything, and just maintain awareness of your breathing. So in front of your nostril, you just silence everything. Then you breathe in, breathe out naturally. Then allow the mind to feel the breathing, just like you feel your forehead, you feel your breathing. The moment the mind detects the breathing, breathing in, the mind is aware. Then breathing out, the mind is aware. You just do this training initially. For those who are new, if you can't do it, it's okay, because it's very natural. The heedless mind, the untrained mind, latches on to thought very easily. They get themselves entangled and lost in thought because of the heedlessness conditioned by their daily heedless living. The mental hindrance, the five mental hindrance, are the cause of this heedlessness of the mind. This five mental hindrance, the Buddha says, hinders your mind from entering the meditative states of calm and peace and inner awareness. They are sensual desire, ill will, sloth and torpor, restlessness of mind and doubt, which I have earlier on explained. So now what you need to do is, you just silence your mind and determine to train. Every time this mind wanders off, if it's something new, you haven't done it before, you're not skillful, split second, the awareness of breathing is gone. Don't worry, patiently bring it back. So to train yourself in anapanasati is very simple. Initially, you just silence your mind, relax body and mind. Then feel your nostril area, feel your breathing. then maintain awareness of this in and out breath. Means every time you are heedless, when your mind wanders off, bring it back to be aware of this in and out breath until you get it. Expect this mind to wander off many, many times, even up to a million times. If it need to be, let it be. But if you are patient enough, you train, you will be able to develop anapanasati quite fast, depending on your path. Sometimes within one session, you get it. Then when anapanasati come to be, you have to stabilize it. We have this mindfulness, sometimes very fragile. For a while, after a few breathing, it's gone again. But don't worry, every time it wanders off, just bring it back. If you can do it until it become very stable, then your mind will develop what they call piti. Piti is a spiritual calmness, a spiritual joy or rapture that will arise when the mind is in sati, when the mind has mindfulness without thought. Our breathing is always within the moment. So when we are mindful of this breath, our mind is always within the moment without thought. So piti will arise. Then as you continue to relax and silen your mind, piti can transform into sukha. Sukha is another more refined state of piti. It is a blissful mind, very blissful. Then when you develop piti and sukha, you will like to meditate. Then you will continue to relax and don't develop the attachment to sukha, to want it to be repeated every time you meditate. Then this mind will progress until it becomes very quiet, very peaceful, and very subtle. Then like little or no more breathing. During this time, you just silence your mind, silence everything. Don't try to do anything. You are trying to develop the higher mindfulness, the more refined mindfulness, so that you can be aware of this subtle breathing. And your mind is trying to develop sati on its own. Means this mind, later on, will develop what the Buddha called pasati. Pasati is the tranquility of mind, stillness of mind, the silent mind, without thought. And this mind, technically, don't need any object of meditation to become peaceful and quiet, because it is already in sati. Then wherever you place this mind, it becomes very sensitive. Your subtle breathing, everything will come back to you. Then anywhere you locate this mind, the vibration within your body, you can feel them. If you go to your heart, you can detect your heartbeat without the stethoscope. The rising and the falling, the arising and the disappearing, the birth and the death of that heartbeat. They will become very clear to you. During this time, you just continue to silence your mind, relax, and just still maintain silence and stillness. You can do that. That is the beginning of Vipassana meditation. Then use this silent mind to understand what is going on within all your sense bases. Then you develop the training of the fourth foundation of mindfulness. You can initially from Kaya Nupassana, which is Anapanasati, then you move on to Vedana, then Chitta, which is the content of consciousness, or the mind state. Then ultimately, Dhamma Nupassana. You will be able to be mindful of the five hindrances of mind as they arise. Then later on, you will be able to develop the mindfulness of the five aggregate of form and mind, seeing them very clearly arising and passing away. Then you will be able to develop mindfulness of all the aggregates of mind. Then after that, you will be able to develop the 6 internal sense bases and 6 external sense bases meditative training, the 18 sense line will be clear to you. Then you will start to understand who you are, what you are, what is this fine aggregate of form and mind all about. You will see the dependent origination, the conditioned arising state and nature, the universal characteristics, the Four Noble Truths, and all the Dhamma, even the three evil roots, the five mental faculties, spiritual faculties. Then later on, you move on to the mindfulness of the seven factors of enlightenment, leading to the mindfulness of the Four Noble Truths. This will cover the entire Satipatthana Sutta. Okay, with this, I will let you develop your meditation. So if you are new, you just train your mind to develop Anapanasati, then stabilize it. For those who really know how to meditate, try to follow whatever instruction that you have heard. Then from there, relax, silence your mind, and just investigate into all the Dhamma that the Buddha has shared with you, especially the Four Foundations of Mindfulness. Okay, I will ring the bell in about 10 to 15 minutes, then we can start the second session. Okay, just relax yourself, body and mind. For those who still want to meditate, you can continue. For those who have not, you can slowly, mindfully come out of meditation. Always remember, like I have always given you the understanding. The formal training here is just to allow you to develop the training of this mind to be peaceful, to be aware, to be silent within. But this state of mind, which is mindfulness, need to be stabilized so that you can use them when you revert back to the daily life, when you go back into life again. So that's why after the meditation with some form of training, your mind will become more calm, more peaceful, silent and relaxed. You try to retain whatever inner peace, inner awareness and inner mindfulness and silence that you have developed for as long as you can. Initially, even to the extent that you have to be silent most of the time. That's why in the retreat you can maintain noble silence for a period of time. But when you come out to real life, it's not so easy. But you can reduce it. Slow down all your whatever thinking, chattering. You always remember the mindfulness training will slow down your heedless mind until finally there is no thought. Your thought process all will become very different. There's a lot of clarity within. But this one need to be developed through a few stages of cultivation. Initially, it's just getting it trained to be aware, to be mindful, to develop the condition to have the ability to meditate. Then after that, you develop the wisdom, the understanding of it, and this will stabilize your meditation further, because when understanding arises, you will know how to meditate. Then you don't need to train so much. Then over time, especially after you have developed the training well, the mind will listen to you, like I always explain. The untrained mind is very heedless, it thinks a lot, it wanders off very fast. It gets itself entangled with sense experience very fast, and it's very reactive type of mind, full of hindrance. But the trained mind is different. The mind that is trained is heedful, aware, mindful. Most of the time silent, quiet and peaceful. Little or no thought. They only arise a thought when they need to. So that is the big difference. So coming back to this training, I have to give you an analogy or example so that you can understand how is it like to have this mind trained. When you have developed the ability to train this mind will listen to you. It will serve you like a good servant. Understand? You can use it. If you have not trained this mind, it's very difficult to use this mind. Unless you have a lot of concentration power. That's why when you do your work, when you are studying, you must be able to have that mind that can concentrate on your work or concentrate on your study. It means you must develop the interest, the passion for it. Then only the mind doesn't run. But this is forcing it to stay there. Understand? Whereas meditation is different. Meditation is in a state of relaxed inner awareness. To train this mind to an understanding. When the mind understands, it does not think. It does not have to wander off and do all those heedless things. Because when it understands, it develops the wisdom and it sees clearly the reality and the truth of all phenomena. It's not deceived by it anymore. So because of that, this mind, when it's trained, initially is very useful. Yeah. Train means like you train yourself in any games. You become very skillful. Means what? You are very skilled in your strokes, like badminton or table tennis. Your stroke become very skillful. Means you are very mindful. You don't have to think anymore. The mind and the stroke move as one. That's why it's very fast, very effective. You can just flick, smash, or return. Then you can decide where you want to return the shuttlecock to. You want to return to baseline, it will go. You want it to go to the net, it will go. You want to smash, it will smash. And that is trained. You're skillful. You can execute the stroke. You can command. You can decide where you want to send the shuttlecock to. So this mind that is trained is the same. You want it to be at the forehead, it will stay at the forehead. You want it to be at the heart, it will stay at the heart. You want it to be silent and peaceful, you will just do that. And that is the trained mind. That's why the mind sweeping method allow you to do a few of these things. Then as your anapanasati stabilize, like you can return the shot, means you can send the mind to wherever you want it to. You can develop this ability to be mindful of your internal kaya. Or you can send it out to be mindful of the external phenomenal world. The external kaya, external sense object, external phenomena. Yeah. Or you can send it within and just be aware, silent. To develop the understanding of this form and mind. How they arise and how they pass away. How they condition you into negativity. How the evil root comes to be, how delusion conditions you to grasp and cling and trigger of your suffering, how your form and mind get deluded and entangled with life. All this you start to see, you will start to understand. This is how you develop wisdom. This is how the Dhamma can be investigated into. Dhamma Padavas 1 and 2, 183. 21, 22, 23, and all the other related Dhamma Padavas, the essential Dhamma of the Buddha, like the Four Noble Truths, dependent origination, three evil root, three wholesome faculty, five spiritual faculty, and five mental faculties and hindrances. Even the seven factors of enlightenment, you can see them. How your sense bases provide the condition for contact, the trigger of consciousness. And how contact condition feeling within the content of consciousness, you will see them all. That's how meditation can be very powerful, can bring forth the understanding, the insight and the wisdom to transform you. So this is where the trained mind can be useful. After you have trained this mind, listen to you, it can serve you. Then you use it to cultivate the meditation as taught by the Buddha, which is the Noble Eightfold Path. You can apply all of the Noble Eightfold Path factor, including the Four Right Efforts. Initially, it's the mindfulness to develop the contemplative right view, which I explained just now. Right view regards the law of karma, then how it leads you into the cultivation. Then how, when the right view regards to the way the mind function, the dependent origination, citta, niyama, you will start to understand how this mind behaves. Then after that, when you develop the right view regards to the Four Noble Truths, you come to understand the secret of life. You know what suffering is. You know the cause behind its arising. And you will know that suffering need not be when you have the wisdom. Suffering can end. Cessation of dukkha is possible. Enlightenment in the here and the now, Nibbana, can be realized. And to do it, you will come to understand there is a fourth noble truth that specifically confirm that if you cultivate this Noble Eightfold Path, it will lead to the end of all suffering, which is the enlightenment, free from all suffering. And this is why you want to meditate. You meditate to develop the wisdom so that you can become enlightened, so that you can liberate your mind to be free of all suffering. So this Noble Eightfold Path is the meditation. So when you have trained your mind, developed the stable mindfulness, you use it to cultivate this Noble Eightfold Path, to constantly develop the awareness of the right view, leading to the right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood. Then constantly apply the right effort to abandon your unwholesome thought. Then the right effort to prevent them from arising. Then after the thought, you go to your speech, you go to your action, and the way you live your life, the four right effort. The first two is to abandon and to prevent the arising of all the unwholesome thought, unwholesome action and speech and livelihood. Then the second two right effort is to cultivate the opposite two. Means the right effort to cultivate the right thought, right speech, right action that is still not in you. Then the last right effort is to apply right effort to refine upon and perfect whatever right thought, right speech, and right action that you have developed or you have already cultivated. Then after you are able to deal with your thought, you go into mindfulness, sati. You cultivate the four foundations of mindfulness to develop deep insight into phenomena. And this deep insight will bring about enlightenment in the here and the now. Then it will bring forth the last factor of enlightenment, which is samadhi. Samadhi is the unwavering mind, collected mind, that has wisdom. So when samadhi develops, sati and samadhi allow you to see things as they are, then you will be able to insight into phenomena and awaken to the truth. That's how wisdom come to be. Then with the enlightenment factor of upeka or equanimity, you can actually become enlightened. So that is the last factor of enlightenment. So Noble Eightfold Path accumulate to samadhi, leading to upeka. Samadhi is the sixth factor of enlightenment. Upeka is the seventh. Once the seven factors of enlightenment fall into place, they are factors of enlightenment, the state of mind that can make you enlightened. So that's why when you develop these seven factors of enlightenment, enlightenment in the here and the now will definitely arise. Okay, that will complete our understanding of the meditation. So your training here is to stabilize the mindfulness, then use it to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path in the midst of life. That is the real meditation. That is the daily mindfulness that the Buddha talked about. Sati Sampajana. Sati Sampajana is more than just mindful. Anasana. You have to have clear comprehension of what you are mindful of. First is clear comprehension of sincerity of purpose. Why you want to develop this type of vipassana meditation or insight meditation? What is this mindfulness training leading you to? The four foundation. So, clear comprehension of sincerity of practice will take you to the right path, the right direction. Then after that, you must have clear comprehension as to the domain of meditation. Means when you understand what is meditation, then you will come to know meditation is not just the formal sitting meditation that you do in a retreat or in a meditation situation or class. Meditation is actually Noble Eightfold Path. When you cultivate Noble Eightfold Path, you look at the Noble Eightfold Path, it actually is related to your life. Your entire life is covered by Noble Eightfold Path. Because to live life, the Buddha said, you must have right view with regards to the laws, the governs life and existence. So without this right view, you don't understand life, the secret of life. That's why you cannot live. And with this right view, then you will be able to live. Then after that, to live life, you need to arise your thought, understand? You need to think. You need to contemplate, reflect. You need to silence to maintain the inner peace and inner well-being. Then you need to communicate through action, speech, and thought process. That's why you have right thought, right speech, right action. Then finally, you have to live your life. That's why there is right livelihood. That's why Noble Eightfold Path is about life. Means meditation can be done in the midst of life. It has to be done in the midst of life. Life itself is the meditation, and meditation is life itself. So when you understand that, then you will not be deluded. You will not go and say, wait till I retire, then I meditate. Or you will not complain, ayo, this place cannot meditate, so noisy. I must go to the temple, I must go to the retreat, I must go to Brother Sui An's house, Thursday class, otherwise I cannot meditate. Or I must retire, otherwise no time. So all this is delusion. Domain of meditation means meditation can be done anywhere, anytime, any place. It is life itself. That's why you have mindfulness. You have right effort to constantly purify your thought process, your action, to refine your action and your speech and the way you live your life. That's how you become noble ones, very noble in all aspects of your life. Your character, your personality, through transforming yourself to have right speech, right action, and right thought. No more wrong thought, wrong speech, crude speech, very crude and evil action. This is how Noble Eightfold Path can transform you, personality-wise, character-wise. Then you will have right understanding as to what life is all about. The right view with regards to the three important spiritual laws that governs all of life and existence. Then life become meaningful, different. Then you will be constantly mindful, heedful, to cultivate the four foundation of mindfulness, to develop the wisdom, the understanding, to liberate this mind so that it does not get entangled anymore, so that suffering may not be. That's why sati, after the four right effort, you have right mindfulness. And right mindfulness combined with samadhi, it can develop wisdom very fast. These are the spiritual faculty. When your faith and virya is very strong, sadha virya, sati will have to follow. Because the virya will drive you to cultivate and develop this sati or mindfulness. Then when sati stabilizes, samadhi come to be. When sati and samadhi come to be, your mind is silent, aware and without thought, unwavering and collected. That's why it can see things as they are. It can insight into all phenomena. Then the characteristics of nature, which is impermanent, suffering state and non-self or empty nature, anicca dukkha anatta, will be clearly shown to you. And you will understand them very clearly. So this is how the whole Noble Eightfold Path is related to life. And you will not have delusion. So there's a clear comprehension with regards to domain of meditation become very clear. You will know how to meditate, even while working in the midst of life, as a housewife, as a career person, or as a semi-retired retiree. Don't have to wait till you retire. Don't have to be deluded. Wow, this place is not conducive, so noisy. I got one teacher who is very good. He used to tell me, he said, the real meditation, you must develop disability. In the midst of activity, while you are doing a lot of things, there can be silence. You understand? Means when the environment is very noisy, that's why in the midst of sound, vibration, all this activity, they can be silent. Then in the midst of activity while you live life, there can be stillness in your heart. You can still work, you can still talk, you can still communicate and do everything, but the mind is silent, still, the true mind. Understand? Where this one is constantly aware within. So in the midst of activity, there can be stillness. In the midst of sound, there can be silence. You can do that. Then everywhere, you can meditate. No more problem. Then you won't complain in the retreat. Oh, those people snore like anything. I cannot sleep. Then you won't go and complain. Why they talk so much? Disturbing. You meditate to train your mind to have this ability to have peace within no matter what happened to the world. If small things like that you cannot tolerate, when you come out to life, what happened? When you meet up with people whom you don't like, people who are not so friendly, who are very, very nasty, how are you going to confront them? Then sometimes your own children, your own siblings, they challenge you, they don't listen to you, they argue with you and quarrel with you. How are you going to deal with all those situations? There is love, there is attachment, and yet they don't listen to you. Then your spouse is on a different frequency from you. Your fear, your worry, your anxiety, your anger, your hatred, all this envy, jealousy come out. So how are you going to deal with life when you can't even tolerate small things? So meditation is about developing wisdom and understanding to live life, to be peaceful no matter what happened to the world, no matter who you encounter. When you have wisdom within, just like my teacher Ajahn Chah Chai used to tell us, he said, if our mind is trained, there is wisdom. If within is peaceful, outside no problem. If inside not peaceful, outside big problem. Understand? Then problem is everywhere. You cannot live. So meditation is about developing this ability to have wisdom to cope with life, so that you can be always at peace. You need not become angry anymore. You need not react to life anymore. You can accept people for the way they are. You can accept the reality of the moment. You can see things as they are and be at peace with everything. But you still act. Understand? Doesn't mean that you don't do anything. When you accept things as they are, means there is wisdom not to react. Understand? Reaction is suffering. Understand? Reaction is wanting things your way, craving. When you accept things as they are, via wisdom, means what? You don't react. That's why you are peaceful. Understand? When you don't react and blame, you are peaceful. But it doesn't mean you say they are right. Understand? Because the reality of the moment is, condition is like that. They are just the way they are. Angry people say angry things. Deluded people do deluded things. So they are just the way they are. So I accept them for what they are. So I will be at peace with them. I will not hate them or get angry with them. And then what must I do? I have to act. Otherwise I cannot solve all this situation that can lead to unpleasantness or suffering or conflict. So the only way to act and yet not affected is through what? Through what? You meditate to do what? You cultivate what? Wisdom. But what do you cultivate for the wisdom to come? What is the meditation that the Buddha did? You cultivate Noble Eightfold Path, isn't it? Correct? That's why when you have Noble Eightfold Path, you are incapable of negativity. You have right view leading to right thought, right speech, right action, right livelihood, and you have mindfulness. You are very heedful. You're very thoughtful, understand or not? You're very mindful. That's why you act according to Noble Eightfold Path. You will be able to resolve all things amicably without causing any misunderstanding or suffering or misery to anybody. Understand? You accord and flow because you don't get angry anymore. You don't react anymore. You don't express the way you feel through your views and opinion anymore. You are just at peace and at ease with whatever people say. And you are ever willing to say, forgive me if I caused you any misunderstanding or suffering. I never had the intention to. So when you apologize, and when you are sincere about things, how can people still be angry with you, understand? Whatever misunderstanding can be resolved amicably through Noble Eightfold Path. That's a Noble Eightfold Path. It's the meditation, it's the solution to all things in life. That's why when you cultivate meditation, it's about Noble Eightfold Path. So whatever meditation that you do or people teach you, if it doesn't end up with the cultivation of the Noble Eightfold Path, it's not the meditation as taught by the Buddha. Understand? You can have fantastic meditative state, see light, having energy field, jhana, everything, can fly, can read mind, everything, so on. You still have suffering. You still cannot live life. You still think this body and mind is real. This is still what you are. You can still be afflicted. When you confront old age, sickness and death, you still can be deluded. You can still have suffering and misery. So that is not what the Buddha wants you to develop. That is not the wisdom that the Buddha wants you to develop. So when you have this understanding of what the Buddha teaches you, is to understand the Four Noble Truths so that you can be free from all suffering, so that you understand clearly what suffering is and the cause behind, then you're no longer deluded. That's why you cultivate Noble Eightfold Path and free. Once you are free, you can realize the enlightenment in the here and the now. That's why Noble Eightfold Path is the path that leads to the end of all suffering. No matter what suffering, what misery, what fear, what unhappiness, apply Noble Eightfold Path. All your problems will be resolved. Okay? So this is the real understanding. Okay, now I need to go into session 2. Otherwise, we don't have time. Session 2 is reporting your meditation, followed by Q&A, question answer. You can ask me any question related to this meditation or the teaching and how to apply what you have learned here to help you to understand life and resolve whatever that you need to resolve. Yeah, those who are from Klang, they need to go because by the time they reach home, very late. So you can go, don't worry. Just make yourself comfortable. So drive carefully. Chinese New Year coming. So when you are heedful, you not only protect yourself, you protect others too. So wishing you all a happy, prosperous and good New Year. Sadhu. Okay, yeah. Okay, now anybody wants to report their meditation tonight or ask any question, you can. Anybody? Don't worry about your question. Whatever you are not sure, you are in doubt, you can ask. Or report your meditation, that will be better. Anybody? When it comes to question, every time quiet. But on the WhatsApp, all are very active. WhatsApp, nobody see you. Only your number and sometimes your name appear. I was told somebody's father is here and there. Who got a question? Yeah, who is it? Oh, Eric. Yeah. I was told you want to ask a question. Regarding what karma is it? What is your actual question? What do you want to understand about karma? Pass the mic to Suyan. Yeah. I can answer you, don't worry. Yeah. What particular aspect about the law of karma that you want to understand so that I can focus on your question?
Okay, brother and brother and sisters. Basically, now I'm going through a situation that, for me myself, I've gone through a lot of ups and downs, and I've been to the hospital so many times and admitted out, in, out, and each time I go in there, I would say, I'm repaying my karma.
And that is what you think, huh?
And 20 years ago, when I met an accident and broke my arm, I had to go to this karma. I take it positively. Recently, I was also diagnosed as a carcinoma patient. I say, this is my karma. I have to go through it. I was strong in that karma, that I accept what comes to me, but until the moment when I just recovered, not recovered lah, getting well,
better.
It's my daughter's turn.
Her
name is Tan Hui Ling, and she was
diagnosed
leukemia.
So
that really makes me
think hard into that question.
That is when I started to feel like this karma will never end and can I'm it's very, very tough for me to go through this and then eventually many things is happening, all coming at the same time. When my daughter is in the hospital for 40 over days, my wife is there with her,
attending to her.
Eventually, she also lost her job. Now it's all so-called like I'm the one who's going to do the, I mean, everything lah.
Supporting lah.
In
all ways.
And then I have to spend a lot of time. And then whenever I'm in front of my daughter, I'll be acting like everything is fine.
Parents will do, out of love for them.
At the beginning, I can take it. But after a while, I feel it becomes
more and more difficult.
Each time I see her, in my heart, I says, can I repay the karma in my next life? See, because this life is very, very tough for me. And it's very, very difficult for me to be an actor in front of my daughter. To be strong, all those things.
Okay, good. I think I understand you good enough. I can share some good Dhamma that can help you. Very good. Thank you so much for for being so open and sharing with us your actual life experience, which in fact come with a lot of suffering. But like the Buddha said, the first noble truth is the noble truth of dukkha. He called it the noble truth of dukkha. Dukkha is translated as suffering. It's a noble truth because this truth, when you understand, you can become noble one or enlightened one. So yours fall under the category of sickness, disease. Of course, you relate it all to karma. The understanding of karma is very deep, very complex, not easy to reply over WhatsApp. That's what I told Suyan. You want to understand, you have to come and talk to me. Then I can explain to you very clearly. First thing first, you have to understand is law of karma is a very powerful nature's law that governs almost 99.999% of our life. I say 0.999% is because the enlightened ones are very few, 0.00001%. So whoever is not enlightened, karma will take its course. Then this law of karma is a nature's law. There is no God behind. But karma is not what you think, so blind, like so predestined, like you have to repay everything. Not like that. The Buddha said very clearly, under right view, he said, every day you have to reflect the five daily contemplation with regards to your body and the things that you own. The five daily contemplation, you all know. First three is, this body of mine is of the nature to grow old, get sick and die, for it goes the way of nature, it's not me. So if I reflect and contemplate, I will not attach to this body. Then I will not suffer as I confront old age, sickness and death. This is for you to reflect on. Then the fourth one is, whatever that you think you own, your loved one, your possession, everything, the Buddha say, separation will be a reality one day, because these are all conditioned arising entity. They are only yours when the condition is there. When condition cease to be, it will cease to be yours. That's why there is this separation that can bring about a lot of suffering. And separation can happen in many ways. Through death, disease, accident, tsunami, nature's occurrences and all those things. Then separation can take the form of divorce, relationship separation, when you are being tutored by somebody. So this is the fourth contemplation, the Buddha said. You have to reflect. Finally, when your breath stops, you don't own anything too. You have to leave behind everything. So when you have wisdom, you will not attach and cling, and you will not suffer. You will not deludedly cling onto your loved one and your prized possession, your wealth, your property, your career, your business and all those things, or whatever thing that you hold on to dearly. Then the fifth one is about karma. The Buddha said, like just now what I explained, we are all born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. And we are what we are because of our karma. This is a very important right view. When I understand this statement, what must I do? I understand that whatever that I have committed through my past action, speech and thought process, I cannot change. Correct or not? This is the reality. Already cast in stone. Understand? But then, moment to moment, as I arise as a human being or a living being, I can arise my appropriate right thought, right speech, right action to make a difference to my karma. Understand? But then, if your karma in the past, you have a lot of delusion and you have neglected that aspect of your life, through not having the right understanding or right view, or having the Dhamma, then this karmic nature will fall. Then as it falls, it will develop a lot of karmic, negative karmic. So there are ways to overcome them. Not totally do away with them, understand not? You can soften them. You can avoid the condition for their arising. Your karma doesn't mean if you commit, you will have to pay. Understand? Maybe in the long run, you have to pay. But the Buddha always say, when there is condition for its arising, immediately it will take on. Because this is a very powerful nature's law. That's why when you don't have wisdom, when you come, you normally have to take all your karma, because you are born of it, heir to it, you inherit everything. Then you are conditioned and supported by it every moment, every instant, and you are what you are because of your karma. So based on this statement and truth, you are right in the sense that everything that is happening to you is because of karma. But it doesn't mean that you cannot free. Understand? If you have the wisdom, like the Buddha said, suffering need not be. That's why this teaching can free you, can bring about the great understanding to help you to overcome all this. So first thing you can do about karma is you have to accept this reality that the past is already gone, I cannot change. But it doesn't dominate over you, understand? Means it doesn't predestine that everything is going to be this way. If I can develop the understanding of the Dhamma or the teaching quickly and cultivate this Noble Eightfold Path, leading to the right view, right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood, then the four right effort to purify and transform, then the right mindfulness to develop the wisdom, I will be able to cultivate this Noble Eightfold Path. Then I will be able to avoid the condition for negativity, understand? So when you are always wholesome, there is no condition for negativity, means what? There is no condition for normal bad karma to arise. Unless it's destructive karma, very powerful, heavy karma, that one will surface. Yeah. Even Arahant cannot escape. But for normal karma, if you avoid the condition, means what? You don't have fear. You don't become angry, unhappy. You don't react to life. Then there is no negativity in you, understand? Then there is no negative condition to condition your negative karma. Otherwise, when you are hit with one bad situation, then it will trigger of you to be unhappy, sorrowful, angry, sad. Some people, they resort to drinking wine or beer to drown their sorrow. Yeah? Or they will do a lot of silly things. So these are the things that can make them worse. Understand? But if you maintain your Dhamma, if you maintain your confidence in the Buddha Dhamma, if you continue to have right view, cultivate and develop all this wholesomeness of meritorious action, like keeping your precepts, maintaining right view, arising right thought, radiating metta and love, have faith in the Triple Gem, then the first thing you need to do is to ask for forgiveness for your own karmic. Then ask for forgiveness for your own children's karmic. You can recite this way: whomsoever from the distant past until now, that this nature of mind, whether knowingly or unknowingly, have caused any karmic negativity or suffering, this nature of mind sincerely ask for forgiveness. May all these beings be well and happy in whatever rhyme or existence they are. May they be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. May they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. May they also forgive me for what I have done through ignorance or delusion. Then I wish them well and happy. May they also have the condition to realize this noble truth so that they can too have the wisdom to free, to develop the eternal life, so that they can also forgive this nature of mind. When you do this, the important thing is when you are very sincere, the nature's law have a very funny effect on you. It does not change the karma, but it breaks the karmic obstruction. All those karmic conditioning that are very strong, they will come and obstruct you in life so that you cannot go forward, so that this karma, you keep on experiencing it. But karma is a very funny law. As long as you are deluded, it will continue to torment you and make you miserable. You cannot free. But the moment you understand, through cultivating the Noble Eightfold Path and developing the wisdom to insight into phenomena, to realize that, hey, no me, hey, no I, it's just a form of mind, no reality. Everything is condition arising, phenomenal world. They are all impermanent. If I grasp and I cling, I suffer. If I don't, I'm free. And they are all not so real. Anatta, non-self. With that wisdom, you penetrate. Your mind liberated. Straight away, karma reverse. It has got no power over you. Because when there is no more suffering, it cannot hit you. I came to realize this truth through my own life experience. Because I was tested severely. When I was going through that phase of cultivation, when I penetrated this truth, nothing else can test me anymore. During that time, two things happened. I got a third child, no, last time. Born in the year 1989. Because of some condition. I think they call one. You cannot conceive when you take that jab. What jab is that they call? There's a jab in the school they used to give one. A rubella. My wife didn't know. I also didn't know. We didn't know. Then later on we come to know it was within the 6 months. That's why the baby come with some complication. But it's meant to be, you know, because this baby wanted marriage. And to cut the matter short, you know, I don't have time. Many things happen now. This child was born with some rubella effect. Then I was going through this cultivation. Then at the same time, my mother got heart attack. Landed in the hospital. Then my son also got compound fracture in the arm. I say, how can? Cannot be. What have I done wrong? Then I reflect. I contemplate. Nothing has changed. The Dhamma is still the Dhamma. The funny thing is, when my son got compound fracture, my heart was very peaceful, very calm. My wife called me. I didn't panic at all. I just tell her what you have to do. I said, don't worry. Take him and see my classmate. I will come now. I was in KL. Then after that, my classmate said, compound fracture, must go hospital straight away. UAE, give a letter. Then we go. And then resolve everything. Then my mother also same. Heart attack. Admitted to, I think, GH or UH, I forgot already. UH, I think. My sister was there. And she recovered. The moment I reflect, contemplate, I understood all this. The whole thing just reversed. Because I need to be tested. It has to be somebody very close to me. Otherwise, I cannot be tested. Then when I understood, I just smiled. There was a lot of joy. Then the moment I smiled and understood, all these things reversed. Then my daughter one, immediately after she passed away, there were a lot of signs, a lot of things that happened, meant to be. She wanted marriage. And even the money to do the donation for the funeral, all those things, it come back naturally through the nature's law. It's like she wanted this money to come from her. And very strange, and I cannot describe to you because it's too long. So this is what karma is. When you understand, you can do something about it, but you cannot erase it. Understand? That's why you have to avoid the condition. Avoiding the condition is wisdom. Only wisdom can avoid, but it cannot completely eradicate. So like you say, karma, yes, your DNA all coded. But when you come this life, there are a lot of things you can do, anasana. DNA is DNA, anasana. But if you have good mental states, like you know how to meditate, develop the inner peace and inner well-being and clarity of mind, developing the wisdom, there is still no suffering, anasana. Then because you have this good mind state, it will reverse your fear, your worry, your anxiety, your sorrow and your lamentation, which the deluded one always have when they are confronted with disease. So what happened was, when you have negative energy field, your immune system will go down. But because of meditation, you have inner peace leading to inner well-being, and when you radiate metta, love, and your wisdom arise, your energy becomes so pure. Your vibration becomes so pure. It can reverse your immune system. Then it can lead to recovery. Understand? Then if in your past you have helped people before, karma is like that, you reap what you sow. That's why this life you can meet Sri An and he bring you to the right people. Then you can develop the understanding too. All this need condition. Understand? So basically, in short summary, this is what you can do. Okay? If you want to know further, we need more time because I have to end the meditation 10:30. Huh? Anyway, it's recorded. You can listen to it. It will help you a lot. Huh? It will be good if we can have another session separately. Huh? Or you want to ask the question again with deeper understanding, wait for 1 month later. The next lesson we can have it too. Yeah, this will help many people. Okay, I told Rasvian I don't want to reply to that WhatsApp because very difficult to explain and express, and I'm very very lousy at pressing the alphabet on the small headphone. It's too messy. And how can so much words go into the WhatsApp? Understand? I cannot. And if you don't listen to what I say, I don't think you get the meaning. You cannot understand what I write. That's why I tell Brazilian, forget about it. Not to say I don't want to participate, but no point. I only reply the essence there. For those who can understand, the essence was already there. Like just now what I explained. I say it's very complicated, very complex karma. Not something that you can understand. Even the enlightened one, unless you are the Buddha or very advanced in your cultivation, it's very difficult to understand. And all this, the book never write. Understand? The book only say, do good because good, do evil because evil. If you do this type of karma, you will reap this type of karmic effect of friction. Karma is not so simple. Understand? It involves a lot of condition. Understand? Your condition, your past, your karmic affinity, the environment, the civilization, and each and every of these beings that you have relationship and interaction with, all these are the condition, that condition, the karmic. And it is a universe thing, understand? Huh? Because of you, the universe is what it is. Because of the way the universe is, you are what you are, understand? Huh? That's why we are all one, related, interbeing, interrelated. You are not separate from anything. Because karmic is a long evolving birth and death for eons and eons and eons. Yeah. Okay, does that answer your question? Okay, okay. So we will do the sharing of merits, transfer of merits. Then maybe we can invoke the blessing for the nation. Then you make your aspiration. Okay, compose your mind, then we will do the closing puja. Sharing of merits with the devas. Akasata ca bumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumoditva cirang rakantu lokasasana. May all beings inhabiting space and earth, devas and nagas of mighty power, share these merits, and may they long protect the dispensation. Itta vata chamehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya. May all beings share these merits, which we have thus acquired, and may all devas rejoice. And may it contribute greatly to their well-being and happiness. Okay, transfer merits to departed ones and all those who can receive them. Idang me nyati nang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang me nyati nang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang me nyati nang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Let these merits accrue to her departed relatives and all those who can receive them, and may they all to be well and happy always. Okay, we will invoke the blessing for the nation. Devo satukalena sasa sampatihe tuja vito bhavatu lokocha raja bhavatu dhammiko. May the rain fall in due season. May there be a rich and good harvest throughout. May the world be peaceful and prosperous always. May the government of the day, the king and the rulers, be righteous. Okay, you make your aspiration. Ipmina punyang kamina mame bala samagamo satang samagomo otu yawa nivana patia. By the grace of these merits that we have thus acquired, may we never follow the foolish, but only the wise and enlightened one until Nibbana is realized. Okay, before we end, we should transfer and do some merit sharing with our sister Elin Tan Hui Ling. I think the father is here. We will do it together. Let us recall to mind all of the wholesomeness that we have done today over the last 2 hours or so. We have developed the respect to the Buddha. We have chanted the salutation to the Buddha. We have taken refuge. We have given the 5 precepts and renewed our 5 precepts. We have developed meditation. We have cultivated wisdom. Then we have listened to the Dhamma, straightened our view, share merits, rejoice with all beings. Then at the same time, we have cultivated a lot of wholesomeness through supporting each other by being Kayanamitas. And others who are serving the Buddhist community, the temple, in whatever service that you have offered, whatever generosity that you have offered and your rejoicing, all these are very meritorious. And we can channel all these merits towards certain specific direction to help certain specific purpose. So by the power of all this wholesomeness, may it pave the way for there to be causes and conditions for all of us here, you all, especially you and your loved ones, to have the good life, the noble life, and the happy life. Then at the same time, may arise the causes and conditions for our sister Elin Tan Hui Ling to have the causes and conditions to recover to good health soon. May she have the causes and conditions to realize the Dhamma also when she recover. May it also bring forth the condition for the family to have better blessings and condition to go through this critical phase of their life so that everything can turn out for the better for them. Have faith in the Triple Gem. Develop the understanding of the Dhamma and everything will work its way through miraculously. Let us now say sadhu 3 times. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Then we meditate for 2 minutes. You radiate metta and love to Elin Tan Hui Ling. Then we end. Okay, close your eye. I will ring the bell after about 2 minutes. Okay, thank you so much for helping to radiate this metta and well-being to Sister Elaine Tan Hui Ling. So with that, you can pay respect to Lord Buddha. Then we will end today's session. Thank you. Yeah, before I forget, I think Sister Ing B, you can help. I think as Kayana Mita for the Thursday class, we all should buy something for Brasuyan and Mi Fong for the Chinese New Year. Please, this is very sincere. We have to offer them something because they let us use this place and there's so much condition. So you try to chip in whatever you can to Sister Ing B. Then let her handle. She very close to them. She can handle that. So whatever you chip in goes to Thursday class, Kayanamita Fund, but earmark for present to Brother Suyan. And I will donate to you. I will let you know through the email. Okay. I rejoice with all the wholesome condition. Let us rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. They have been so kind and so helpful.